Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me on this Thursday. We're just rolling right along here talking about Dr. Fauci. But I'm very excited about my next guest. We're going to shift here to Antifa for a second. The myth known as Antifa. Remember this? It was all a dream. It didn't really exist. And lately, it seems that the media has suddenly decided, the serious people in our media, like Jonathan Curl, have decided that they can give it a second look. And there's a lot of headlines, including anarchists and an increase in violent crime hijack Portland social justice movement. Suddenly, this movement is being hijacked by Antifa. My guest is Jack Posobiec, and he's a phenomenal writer. He actually has a book that's coming out. It's called, it's actually out right now. It's The Antifa, Stories from Inside the Black Block. And it's a great book. It talks all about the start of Antifa. Are we losing Jack there? He's all right. We'll wait for him to come back on. But it's interesting because I want to play a flashback here. A lot of people told us Antifa did not exist, that it was just a figment of our imaginations. And I believe we have a cut here from Joe Biden. Let's play this.
Antifa is an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not militia. That's what FBI director
Gentlemen,
said.
Well, then, you know what?
No, we're done, sir.
Everybody,
we're moving on to the next. We're moving
on to the next. That's not an idea.
And that's something that we keep hearing is that it's just an idea. It's not an organization. But Jack Posobiec breaks this all down. Jack, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Well, Grace, I really appreciate being on. And, you know, a lot of the disinformation that's out there that's been spread in many cases by some of these legacy media publications is why I wrote this book. It's why I've been infiltrating this group. We put all the information up at antifabook.com where people can go and get this thing and really just have a fact-based compendium of who this group is, where they've come from. We even actually go through all the individual events of 2020, that sort of summer of rage, the violence that we saw across every major city, every major metropolitan in the United States, that has been completely memory-holed when we talk about 2020. It's like these things never happened. Well, they actually did happen. We cover them in detail, date, time, location, victims, all of it. So people can go and point to one specific book and say, this is what happened, this is real, it is documented, and it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, and Jack, one thing, you're breaking up a little bit there, but one thing I wanted to ask you about is I know you infiltrated Antifa at one point, and you were actually in Chaz, and this might sound like a naive question, but I have to ask, describe to us who the typical Antifa member is. Like, what is their anger towards? What is their goal? What was it like getting to know them? Was it complete chaos? Give us a little insight into what it was like infiltrating Antifa.
In the Chaz in Seattle, where I did spend some time going undercover both day and night, you find people that really run the gamut from your typical college liberal to someone who's an actual hardened anarchist, anarcho-terrorist. You have people that want the actual overthrow of the U.S. system, the U.S. government. They want to attack the police. They want to attack the government. They want to institute a new state. And typically these people, they're not working class, even though they tend to call themselves and claim to be from the working class. They're actually usually more upper middle class to upper class people who, you know, kind of bored, looking for something to do, looking for a reason to, to sort of go through their life. And so they find meaning in groups like this because they don't have any meaningful rites of passage that they've gone on in their life.
Right, right. And Jack, do you feel vindicated? I mean, there was, I'm reading here now from a headline from Nicholas Kristof in late July. He said, "Help me find Trump's anarchists in Portland." And you actually start your book with the conversation between Trump and Christopher Wray, where Christopher Wray was telling Trump the same kind of thing. Don't worry about this. It's not real. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but it was very, he tried to brush this off. And so did our mainstream media. And you've kind of really been in this for a long time. Do you feel now like you're finally getting a little bit of vindication for talking about this and for telling people how serious Antifa really is?
Well, you know, the vindication isn't for me. It's for the victims of this group. It's for the people who have been targeted, the journalists, the citizens who live in areas that live in Capitol Hill, Seattle, the people who are running businesses in there that have been...
Jack, you're breaking up a little bit. Can you get in a better spot for us? We're just having trouble hearing you. All right, I think we lost Jack. I really appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we get you on again soon and maybe it's a better connection. But in the meantime, I do want to, and I wanted to ask Jack what his thoughts were on Dr. Fauci, because, you know, he did write this book, The Antifa Stories from Inside the Black Bloc, but he also is very opinionated on what's going on right now as far as this NIH situation. And how he just ran a theory by me. And how he said a lot of people think that Dr. Fauci has now become expendable to the Democrats, which there's always a point where the Democrats, they'll stick by you. Democrats stick together. Don't get it twisted. They stick together better than the Republicans. I remember my mom telling me that when I was really little. The Democrats stick together. And now it seems like they're kind of getting ready to give Fauci the old boot, you know, to give him the hook and get him off the main stage. And I'm curious if it's because of gain of function, because according to a lot of people, gain of function was prohibited by Barack Obama or under Barack Obama's administration. And Fauci kind of snuck it back in, allegedly. And there's more to it than that. I'm kind of summarizing it in a more simple way. But if they know that they can blame this all on Fauci and not blame any of it on Barack Obama, then it's a lot easier for them. Is Jack back with us?
We are efforting right now.
Okay. So we're going to go through some more of this Dr. Fauci sound. Let's play cut 8, please, Jared.
I think the accusatory part about it is only going to get them to pull back even more. We've got to do it in a combination of diplomacy, scientific, forensic investigation, and do it in a way that the people of good faith, not who want to do blame, but people in good faith are really trying to find out what the origin is. And we're seeing a lot of, you know, I don't even want to describe it, a lot of pointing of fingers and things like that. Keep an open mind and go after the truth.
You know, that's interesting because now he's talking about how we need to be diplomatic so that people don't pull back. Hold on a second. I understand to a degree trying to keep things, you know, trying to keep things friendly between foreign powers and things like that. But if you're responsible, if a lab in Wuhan is responsible for this thing getting out across the world, I don't really care about being diplomatic anymore with China. Am I the only one? I mean, talk about diplomatic. These people were so ready to blame Trump for this from the get-go. I remember thinking to myself, is anyone mad at China where this started, where in Wuhan, where they weren't telling us the true facts? They were hiding everything. Is anyone frustrated about that? Or are we all going to blame Donald Trump? Because we had this desire to blame Orange Man as opposed to looking at the place where this started. And now Fauci's telling us, now that people are actually figuring out what happened, he's telling us we have to be nice. You know, we can't get too aggressive in the blame game.
Yeah, back when you were a racist for even suggesting that it came from China, which we knew, but to voice that, you were a racist. You were a terrible person.
Yeah, no, exactly.
A xenophobe.
Let's play cut 11.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that there are people out there who, for one reason or other, resent me for what I did in the last administration, which was not anything that was anti-Trump at all. It was just trying to get the right information, to try and get the right data. And what they didn't seem to understand, I guess that's understandable that they didn't understand it, is that science is a dynamic process.
Huh. Is that the word we're using now? Dynamic. You know what it reminds me of? Like when they try to say, oh, well, you know, people are playing the blame game because they didn't like me because of how I handled it during the Trump administration. He's trying to say all these attacks are from Trump supporters. All these attacks are from credulous boomer rubes and crusty uncles and bitter clingers. And that's why they're attacking me. It reminds me of when someone has a problem with you and you immediately go, oh, they're just jealous of me. They're just jealous of me. It's like, oh, no, maybe look a little bit inward. Maybe there is a problem here. And there's a huge problem with Dr. Fauci. And it's not because he contradicted everything Trump said. Because if he had contradicted everything Trump said and he had ended up being right about everything, he would still be the toast of the town. But to contradict everything that the American president says to appease the Chinese government or the Wuhan lab or whoever it may be, then you have an issue. You're not following the science, and it's not understandable. It's corruption. And there's a big difference between being incompetent and being duplicitous. And now we are definitely in the realm of lying and covering things up. And I'll be very interested to see exactly when the memo goes out to the rest of the Democrats that, hey, you guys can officially turn on Fauci. Throw him to the wolves. It's going to be any second now. Nicole Wallace, she tried her best, but I hate to tell her this. I don't think other people are going to go along with it. I think he's dead weight at this point, and they just want to politically make sure he's out of the picture. He can join Andrew Cuomo at a virtual gala, and they could do their whole De Niro, Pacino routine in a padded cell somewhere, and none of us have to listen to them. But if,
you keep meatballs in your jacket?
It's not coming back, you know, the Fauci stardom. His 15 minutes should have been up about 1 year and 2 weeks to flatten the curves ago, but it wasn't. But now it is. And I'm so happy because it's going to be really, I kept saying to people, are they going to try to lock us down again? And now not only are they letting up, but now they're on their heels. And so I think that that's a great thing for all of us because it's like maybe for 15 flipping minutes, we'll be left alone. Just leave us alone, Fauci. That's all we want. All right. I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network. I can say this with confidence. Nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. My two VIPs today, they're so pumped up. See, they think they came here for the show. And I'm telling you, Aviva's going to steal the show because everyone ends up eating the farmhouse pizza, the arancini bowls, balls, and they're delicious. And then they come in here and they're just raving about Aviva. And they ask me, where can I go to actually get Aviva, sit down, enjoy the restaurant? There's four locations, Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, and Westford, and they have a new location in Malden, which is opening in June at some point. Takeout is available too. Marcy's going to be sending food here any second, and I'll let you guys know what new spread we have. But Aviva Trattoria is really amazing. You can still enter to win at gracecurlyshow.com. Enter your email. Jared, tell people a little bit about some of your favorites.
So I am a big fan of the pizza at Aviva. The farmhouse pizza, definitely. The shrimp scampi pizza, that was a surprise. That,
that was a
sleeper. They have the gnocchi, which I love. They brought that in. The short rib risotto, seafood risotto, all their risottos. The desserts are great. The tiramisu, the limoncello mousse cake, the cannolis. Fried calamari.
The list goes on and on and on.
Anything you can think of, they have it.
Yes, they do. They have something for everyone. It's really great, so make sure you check them out. Aviva Trattoria. By the way, I'm sad that Jack Posobiec did not have a good connection, but make sure you check out his book, The Antifa, Stories from Inside the Black Bloc. Hopefully we'll get him back on the show at some point in the near future. The lines are lighting up, 844-500-4242. This is your time to vent about Dr. Fauci, guys. I don't know how many shows left he's going to have where he's the star of the Grace Curley Show, but today's the day we're venting about the good doctor. We'll be right back on the other side. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. Let's go right to the calls. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. What do you got, John?
Hi, Grace. I kind of don't want them to investigate Fauci. My fear is that it will open up the doors. I think the House would then subpoena Trump. What did he know? And because obviously, I mean, Trump knew. I'm convinced he knew that it was from the origins or from the clinic. I think he kept it or kind of kept it quiet or didn't push it too much for fear of mass panic. I mean, if we actually all believed that this is from a lab, probably a bioweapon, there'd be total chaos. I mean,
yeah, but,
total shutdown.
But the only reason that I disagree with that is because Trump did float the idea and he was criticized for it. So I think he hesitated to declare where he knew the information from. I think it was classified information, but he definitely hinted towards it. He wasn't afraid to toss the idea out. And that's why they all went so opposite of that idea, was because Trump had the audacity to verbalize it.
All right. Do you think they would subpoena Trump in the House?
I never would say they wouldn't subpoena Trump, because I think they're addicted to it. It's like crack to them, so they probably would. I don't even know. John, here's the thing. I have very low expectations right now with politics and with what's going to happen and with justice being served. And I say that. I'm not trying to depress anyone. Just being honest. Now, what I've learned to do is look at a situation and go, I know he's not going to end up in jail. I know he's probably not going to be investigated. That's all fine. What I want is for his book sales to tank. I want him to be never invited on a TV show again. I want him to be ostracized in polite society. And I just don't want to have to look at him anymore and take directions from him. I don't want him to be the president of the United States, which he has been for the last year and a half. He's been calling all of the shots. And that's what I want. And for me, that's enough. I'm not going to fill people's minds with false hope that, you know, you're going to see Fauci in an orange jumpsuit. You're not. But you might not see him on your TV as much, which is a win in my book. Lou, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, how you doing, Grace? Before I get to my point, I think you and Howie ought to write a new book. Howie hasn't come out with a new book in a while, but I have a great title for you.
Sure.
It's called The Woke Reign of Terror in the Age of COVID, From Winning, Winning, Winning to Losing, 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 which is exactly what we're doing now. And I want to get to, and Fauci is part of this. I mean, they use Fauci, and he basically gave them the election, right?
Yeah.
With all of his restrictions and everything. If it wasn't for Fauci, they wouldn't have been able to do these voting changes that they did.
Yeah.
That basically allowed them to relax all the voting rules in all these states. Without Fauci, they wouldn't have had a way to attack Trump. They use Fauci and Cuomo, two frauds, to go after Trump. And the media just has been using this stuff. They've been committing fraud for now since 2016, starting with the Russia hoax, and now moving on to this, and moving into, and wait, let me finish my point, and moving into COVID, and deceiving the American people. You're an acting major, right? You're an acting major?
Yes, yes.
Remember Othello? Iago keeps lying and lying and lying to him until he finally kills Desdemona.
Right.
I mean, that's what they've been doing to the American public the whole time.
Yeah, no, Lou, we just got to cut you off for time. I would let you keep going, but I agree with you. And just remember this, Jane Fonda, it said it best. She said, COVID was God's gift to the Democrats. That's all you have to know right there. We'll be back with more of your calls, 844-500-4242, and a little journalism in the news. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. There's a lot to break down here. We still have more Fauci stuff to get to. I will still take your Fauci venting calls, 844-500-4242. Feel free to call in. But I saw a Twitter feud today, and I know I'm always on the Twitter, but it made my heart sing. I mean, it just made me so happy. And it involved, talk about an unfair fight, it involved Brian Stelter and Glenn Greenwald, which brings me to the segment that so many of you love, journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
Now, the interesting thing about Glenn Greenwald is that I don't think he is what you traditionally think of as far as conservative. I think he's more of a libertarian, if anything. He just didn't completely buy into the progressive far left fake news Kool-Aid. And so now he's the enemy of CNN and everybody like that. Now, Brian Stelter, here's where he comes into play. Brian Stelter's ratings are not great.
There's no time for potato heads.
That's me putting it very, very kindly. They're struggling. And Brian Stelter spending his time talking to a person from The Intercept, which I guess is like a little, you know, left-wing blog or whatever. And its former co-founder was Glenn Greenwald. And now he's a critic of The Intercept. How times have changed. And so Brian Stelter interviews this person and puts in a quote on the tweet and says, about Glenn Greenwald, he's become a practitioner of manufactured controversy in the service of the hard right in this country. Now, it's hysterical to think CNN is calling anyone a practitioner of manufactured controversy. Remember how much they cared about the kids in cages until they didn't? Remember how much they two scoops of ice cream, was that a manufactured controversy? These people run with anything. The koi pond, you know, Trump fed the fish in the koi pond. And what was that? Was that in Japan, Jared? I'm not sure. And the foreign leader he was with also fed the fish with the food. But the headlines were like, Trump kills fish with too much food. I mean, CNN has made their bones off of manufacturing fake news. They are fake news, as Trump said. So Brian Stelter tweets this out. And Glenn Greenwald, I don't know what was happening in his day, but he decided to go in for the kill. And when I tell you that it was a knockout, I was watching it unfold on my screen and I was like, oh my God, somebody go help Brian Stelter. This is not going well. So Brian Stelter tweets out this quote about Glenn Greenwald, and Glenn Greenwald writes, the only ones with a smaller audience than CNN is The Intercept. This won't help Brian. Then he comes back with, if I were Brian Stelter and hosted a weekend show that has fewer viewers than the average Manhattan street, all while watching my network collapse. I guess I'd also be doing things like tweeting random insults about me from obscure editors. You have to numb the pain. Now, Brian Stelter, and this is a tip. I was just talking to Howie about this. He said, if someone comes after you about that, you just gotta, because the fact is we have the ratings on CNN and they are terrible. So you just gotta own that. You gotta wear it. That's what the young kids say. You gotta wear that one and just move on with your life. Not if you're Brian Stelter, okay? He did not take kindly to these insults. He comes back at Glenn and says, you know very little about television ratings. At reliable sources had more than 900,000 viewers via TV last Sunday, according to Nielsen, and an even greater total when adding up online views. So don't worry about my weekend show. It didn't end there. Glenn, you know, it's like when a shark smells blood and you just go, ooh, it's not over, you know? Glenn writes about Brian Stelter's viewers. They're all captive viewers in the nursing home, which is fine. They need to be entertained too, Brian. But your network is a collapsing failure because you don't have Trump to talk about anymore. He saved all your jobs and you know it. I mean, this is humiliating. And he posts a picture of the ratings. He says, this is humiliating. Stelter again has no time for potato heads, but he has time to go back and forth with Glenn. And he started it. I just want you to keep that in mind. He brought this on himself. Brian writes, your vitriol can't hide your ignorance about the TV business. Ratings rise and fall in cable news. It's been this way for decades. It's normal. Only crazed partisans claim otherwise. Glenn's not getting as heated, you know, which is always a good telltale of like who's winning the fight, who's getting more upset. Glenn writes, LOL. Okay. Whatever you need to tell yourself, Brian, your DNC network can't even get 1 million overall to watch in prime time. Here are the well-known crazed partisans of the Washington Post laying bare what a disaster your network faces. And he posts articles from the Washington Post. You guys know if there's one, you know, crazy Trump-supporting outlet, it's the WAPO. And this was their headline. Trump predicted news ratings would tank if I'm not there. He wasn't wrong. So that was the end of that battle. And whew, it really made my day. Sometimes you wake up, you don't know what you need. You know, is it a coffee? Is it a good breakfast? Is it a fight between Glenn Greenwald and Brian Stelter? It's just not fair. Glenn, you can't go after Stelter. It's not an even match. And we all know it. In other news, and this is just a side note on ratings, by the way, because that's CNN. But if you think that's it, MSNBC is doing real bad, too. They have 88. This is, again, Glenn Greenwald. He's attacking. He's pouncing on these ratings. He wrote 88% of MSNBC's audience, 88% is 55 years or older. During the day, they barely have 100,000 people total watching who are under 55. Their audience continues to vanish with Trump gone. Otherwise, things are going well there.
Very male and successful.
Just amazing. And I also wanted to read this fake news headline. Actually, you know what? I'm going to skip the fake news for now because we just covered a lot of fake news there. I'm going to read you a woke headline. This is from Slate. There's so many people who are worried about cultural appropriation. You know, like if you salsa dance or whatever, if you do something, like in other words, if I do anything that's not Irish, I'm appropriating someone's culture. So great. Now I'm left with like eating potatoes and Irish step dancing for the rest of my life. And no,
there's no time for potato heads.
No shade to the Irish. Okay. I'm a proud Irish girl, but I mean, the options food wise are a little grim. I got to eat my Italian food, okay? This person at Slate writes, this is a serious concern. So if my VIPs laugh, I'm going to get angry because this is actually big time stuff. This reporter, Nicole Chung, writes, our kid's Japanese godfather gave her a kimono. Can she wear it? We'd never want her thinking somebody else's culture is a costume. We're at a level now of neuroses that I don't know if we can come back from this. People are creating issues for themselves. They are creating problems. And I don't know if this is going to be a new segment, but sometimes I think, Jared, we have a lot of Canadian listeners, people who were from Canada, have moved here. We frequently have on guests from the Post Millennial, which has a big base in Canada. And I think it would be nice to check in with what's going on over there. Because sometimes we get really down on our politicians, and we absolutely should. I mean, they're awful. But they're not Justin Trudeau. We have that going for us. So let's play. Justin Trudeau was talking about when he got the vaccine, and it's really strange stuff. I think it's worth playing. Cut 25, please.
It's amazing because we were talking about how important it was for everyone to get vaccinated and what a big deal it was to get vaccinated. So I thought that was all built in already. Right. But getting that shot really was an amazing feeling. It hits you.
Did you cry?
I cry at, I cry at movies. I didn't cry at the shot, but.
All right. And I think I'm going to skip the second one for all of our sakes, because I can just tell. I only have two people in here, and I can tell that they're probably representative of all of you out there listening to that. But you got to hear the last part, because I think, we've been called bitter clingers. We've been called deplorables. One of my VIPs has a deplorable shirt on. We've been called credulous boomer rubes. We've been called Neanderthals. What am I forgetting, Jared? Am I forgetting anything?
Oh, bitter clingers, boomer rubes, Neanderthals.
Deplorables. That might be it. Yeah. Walmart shoppers, that always gets thrown in sometimes. We're just a rednecks. There's a million, but I think I have a new one for all of us, and see if you can catch it. This is Justin Trudeau talking about how you have to convince your family to get the vaccine. Okay. Because it's not enough that most of us haven't been to gatherings in a long time. Now we're going to go to gatherings and be the biggest buzzkill of all time. While your family's trying to enjoy a hot dog and maybe watch a hockey game, you're going to be up there like, by the way, did you get your vaccine? Make sure you get vaccinated. Yikes. But listen to what he calls this, cut 27.
That's how we get through it. And it's something that everyone can do. And we're just seeing Canadians come out in such strong numbers all across the country to say, yeah, I want this COVID thing to end. I want to get back to normal. And the way to do that is to make sure everyone, even that crusty old uncle who resists or that friend who's skeptical, encourage them, convince them, tell them that they need to get vaccinated, because this is how we get through it.
Mm-hmm. Crusty old uncle. Are you a crusty old uncle out there? Call in 844-500-4242. I mean, the complete disgust these people have for anyone who doesn't want to follow their rules and their lockdowns and what they think is right and their science, their partisan science, it's really apparent. And it's something I've been thinking for a while, because all this stuff's happening with Fauci, and I'm thrilled about it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love seeing the downfall of this fraud, but there's a lot of this that was in our face. There's a lot of this that if you just pay attention, you notice it. And it's not, sure, the media sucks, but if we all just pay attention to what these people are telling us, they're telling us pretty openly that they think we're crusty uncles, that they think we don't understand things, that they think we don't follow the science. Jen Psaki at one point said, oh, we're getting the word out about vaccines to groups that, again, paraphrasing, but she was talking about groups that are hesitant to get the vaccine. And of course, when you think vaccine hesitancy, you think of credulous boomer rubes. That's the assumption, is that we're Trump supporters, we don't follow the science, we won't get the vaccine. So she said they've been advertising on, remind me, Jared, because I don't know these shows.
NASCAR, the 700 Club, and I believe Mountain Dew was also worked in there.
Do, ladies, ladies, do you listen to any of those? Do you watch NASCAR? Occasionally. Okay, so maybe they got her one time with that. But it's just what they think of us is very clear. You know, Dr. Fauci's a perfect example. He said multiple times, you don't have to go through his emails, go through his interviews, his nationally broadcasted interviews, where he said he lied to us for our own good. Because they think we're dumb. They think we're old, crusty. The only thing Trudeau left off is dumb. Talk to your old, crusty, dumb uncle. That's what he really meant. It's true what they say, a perfect smile's change your smile, change your life. I saw this change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. I actually got to go up to Perfect Smiles last week and get my teeth cleaned. I was so blown away by the procedure they have there. Incredible state-of-the-art equipment. Everyone is so nice. Dr. Houghton is the sweetest man in the world. Stephanie is lovely. Everyone there, the dental hygienist, Lori, she was great. You can't go wrong at Perfect Smiles. And also, just a side note, I am getting a custom whitening tray tomorrow, picking that up at Perfect Smiles. So wait till next week, guys. I'm going to have some white choppers coming at you on the YouTube stream. But really, I did love Perfect Smiles so much. It's right off the highway in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free and the staff is awesome. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, contact them today. They transform your whole look and they transform your life. I was talking to the dental hygienist and she said, we change people's lives here every single day. They come in one way and they leave feeling so much different. So make sure you check them out. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. We'll take your calls on the other side. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Okay, now I have to address this. Fox News, inside Bennifer's affectionate date. That's Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck for all of you out there who have been living under a rock. I am the demo for this kind of news, Jared. Bennifer was a thing when I was younger. Like, it was the couple. And I don't care about this. So who cares about this if I don't care about it? That's my only question.
I couldn't begin to tell you.
I really, really don't know. Today's poll question is brought to you by Balance 7 Liquid Concentrate. Start sleeping better tonight and get the acid out of your body with Balance 7. Save $10 off your first order today with code word GRACEFREE at balance7.com. That's balance7.com, code word GRACEFREE. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Fauci email is your favorite? Daszak praising Fauci for downplaying the conspiracy. Fauci saying, this is too long. Fauci saying, please handle. Or the truth about masks.
I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say this is too long. I switch it up every time, but I'm going to say this is too long. Because if I sent that to Howie, if Howie sent me an email and I wrote back, this is too long. Oh, that would not go over well. That would not be good.
This is too long is polling at 10%. In the lead, the truth about masks at 44%.
Now, you know, speaking of Fauci, he has other phrases. For a long time, we heard about droplets and curves. Now we're hearing about keeping an open mind. See if you can count how many times Fauci says this. Cut 17.
I have always said and will say today to you, John, that I still believe the most likely origin is from an animal species to a human. But I keep an absolutely open mind that if there may be other origins of that, there may be another reason. It could have been a lab leak. I believe if you look historically what happens in the animal-human interface, that in fact the more likelihood is that you're dealing with a jump of species. But I keep an open mind all the time, and that's the reason why I have been public that we should continue to look for the origin. That email, in no way, you can misconstrue it however you want. That email was from a person to me saying thank you for whatever it is he thought I said. And I said that I think the most likely origin is a jumping of species. I still do think it is, at the same time as I'm keeping an open mind that it might be a lab leak.
He keeps an open mind. I hope that makes everyone feel better. We're in good hands. We'll be back with more of this, including some great sound from Leo Terrell and more Fauci sound, and also producer's picks, so don't go anywhere.